inaugural Hay House World Summit. We're very excited to have you all participating in this special event. This is your host, Jessica Ortner from thetappingsolution.com. Many of us have heard and even experienced the power of thoughts and prayers. In this interview, you will learn how to train your brain for very focused form of thoughts and prayers called Theta Healing. To lead the way, we are speaking to Vienna Stibble from thetahealing.com. Vienna is the creator of this modality and the author of 5 books on Theta Healing. Welcome, Vienna.
Good to be here. Are you ready for this?
I am. I'm so excited. So what exactly is Theta Healing?
It's been called a lot of things, but we called it Theta Healing because we believe we're using the particular brainwave that you use when you sleep and when you dream. And so we believe that we found a way to tap into that dream wave without having to fast for 3 days, without having to meditate for 5 or 6 hours. We found a way to do it in like 30 seconds.
Well, that sounds amazing. So I know that we're going to learn how to do that. But why should someone be listening to this class? What can Theta Healing help us with?
Well, we believe that we're hitting this dream wave. And when you hit this dream wave, it opens up different parts of your brain. So problem-solving abilities come in. When you're sleeping and when you're dreaming, you release a lot of the growth hormone. You release serotonin when you're in theta. And your body is kind of stimulated to heal quickly. And we, in many cases, we've experienced many people healing instantly when you're in this brainwave. And what we believe we can do is we can get in a deep, deep meditative brainwave. And then when we focus and actually call upon God or a higher power or an energy of creation, we can focus that energy and have incredible results.
Well, Vienna, this sounds fascinating. You just said that you believe by doing this, you're connecting with your creator. And I want to learn a little bit more about that. What are some of the foundational beliefs that are within Theta Healing?
Well, we believe that the one thing that makes it so you can use this modality is that you must have a faith that there is a divine, that there is a creator, and that you can tap into it. And we also believe that we're part of the creator, so it is our divine right to tap into it. So I've been able to teach religions from all over the world without people actually having to change their religious beliefs. We just teach them how to tap into what they already know on some level is there. So they are learning how to actually communicate with the God energy inside and outside of their self and focus it and let it do its work for it. And it's been really interesting to see how it's developed over the years. With the same technique, we've learned to not only focus on illness, but to focus on thought forms and how we think about ourselves and learn how to change what we believe about ourselves and become what we really want to be.
Well, I was doing some research about this, and I saw that a big part of this is focusing on the beliefs that we have about ourselves. What do you think are some of the most destructive beliefs that people have about themselves, and then what can we do about that?
Well, see, that's really cool, because a lot of people, Theta Healing is a healing modality. It was designed to actually help people focus on getting better and getting healthier. And sometimes people would come to us and their bodies would change immediately, but a lot of times the illness was helping them in some way. So we started to find out what people really believed about the illness and things like that. And then we realized that we could focus it on other things, like teaching people how to read or teaching people that they could be successful in business. And what we found is that a lot of people came to me that, you know, with questions. You have to remember, I started as an intuitive reader, so I also looked in people's future, in their life, in their heart, and a lot of them just simply didn't believe that they were worthy of being loved by a divine energy, so they don't believe they're worthy of actually making any more of their self. So these are some of the really key underlying beliefs that keep people from actually making the life that they've always wanted. And we believe that we create our own reality, and we found a way to do that. You know, Theta Healing doesn't just work on the subconscious belief. We believe that we also work on the ancestral beliefs that are in our DNA, and that we also work on something called the history level, which is something that is in our history, what we would call past life memories. And just because I say that doesn't mean that you've lived over and over and over again. We're just saying that you have your ancestors' memories, that you have the land around you's memories, you have the group conscious memories, that you actually, everyone actually has past life memories. And in my work, I found that everyone that I work with believes in a past life of some sort, that they were spirits before they came to Earth, that they will be spirits when they leave this Earth, and that they're always going on. And that kind of belief system allows you to see other beliefs that you may have picked up through centuries of, you know, our ancestors behaving a certain way, you know. So we actually go that deep in changing beliefs, and the results are pretty phenomenal. And it's kind of fun to see beliefs that you may have inherited that are keeping you from being abundant or keeping you from actually being what you want to be, because we've inherited so many things.
Right. Well, then how do we begin to discover ourselves? What are those beliefs that we inherited that are bad for us?
Well, this is where Theta Healing actually kind of depends on something that's been around for a long, long time. In the beginning, when we take the classes, we show you the basic meditation so that we know that we can really teach your mind to really connect. The more you connect, the deeper you get, the better you are doing the healings. And then we teach you how to do a simple form of muscle testing to find out what you believe. But once we train you to actually start listening to your own subconscious or your own cells, then the muscle testing is not needed as much. So like in the first class, we teach you a lot of muscle testing, but as the classes evolve, we've actually taught you how to really tone into who you are and what you are. And as you do that, you realize that all these years you've been trying and trying, but your father thought that you should be a failure, just like his father, and so you always have that program running, and once we shift it, it changes. And the other thing is that we've found that there is no belief that is a negative belief in the human mind. The mind is keeping that belief for a reason. So it feels like it's serving it in some way. It's helping it. It's helping it so it doesn't have to try. It's helping you so that you can actually, you know, it's easier sometimes to fail than to succeed, because people don't know how to deal with success, you know. So we just sort of train people to find their subconscious beliefs and shift them a little bit and change them a little bit. We also found that some people don't know what certain things feel like. So another part of Theta Healing is that we do something called downloads, where we get into this meditative state and we go in and teach another person how to, what joy is, what love is, what happiness is, and actually teach their whole body, their mind, their body, their soul, what these things are, so that they're easier for us to obtain. So the feeling work is really an important part of Theta Healing. Now, when I say that, what happens is when the practitioner goes into this state of Theta and he touches the person he's working on, their brain goes into Theta too. And that was one of the really cool, fascinating things about the modality. So both of you are in this dream state. We also found that the healer, or the person working on you, the practitioner, that their beliefs of what's happening is really important. So if the practitioner believes it's possible, a lot of times they can really affect the outcome of the healing. So, I mean, it, all these things sound really interesting, but the truth is it started from me working on people and doing work on them, and some of them would get better and some of them wouldn't. And when I would ask God or the Creator, I was told they believe they should be sick. And so I think we really realized how important the subconscious and how you feel about yourself is. When the first little boy came to me that had cancer, and I thought he was dead because it was everywhere, and so I just simply asked him if he wanted to forgive his father, because his father and him hated each other so badly, and I thought I was preparing him to die. And in reality, when we pulled the hatred for his father and replaced it with forgiveness, his body was healed. And it could be just a coincidence that his body was healed, you know, the day of that healing. because, you know, people do go in remission all the time. The fact that he went from, I'm going to live a week, and to total being healed, I would like to think it's because he forgave his father. And in my heart, I know that's the truth. So we realize how important our thought forms are and what we create in our reality. And so Theta Healing kind of started in that healing fashion of just basic sickness, but we realized that if we applied the ideas to our lives, we could become limitless in what we could do. We could actually make ourselves into incredible people and incredible human beings with incredible abilities.
So you've mentioned that a big part of this is for us to really recognize our own power and for us to connect with ourselves and with our intuition. Is there a process that we could do now that can help us feel more connected with ourselves?
Okay, so now this is the cool part about Theta Healing. I'd like to show you the basic meditation that we use in Theta Healing, and then I'd like to tell you why, if it's okay with you, why some people are better healers than other people. What we have discovered that people are missing in when they start doing healing work, and how to really focus in on attributes that you need to become really good at being a healer. Is that okay?
I would love that, yes.
Okay, so the meditation was very simple. You know, I was practicing this meditation in my office and I was getting amazing readings. So when they asked me to teach it, that was over 20 years ago. And in the very beginning, we just taught people to go up and connect with God. Then we realized that other people had all these ideas about God, whether they were worthy, whether they weren't worthy. So we sat down and created and was shown a meditation technique that kind of takes people enough out of their normal thought form to connect with an energy of love so that their brain actually reaches an energy of significance. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to take a deep breath in and blow it out really slowly. Now take another deep breath in and blow it out really slowly. Now we realize that people pray all the time, that people feel connected. Sometimes they feel close to the spirit, sometimes they don't. But what I'm going to show you will connect you anytime you want to. And the cool thing about this is that it works. It may seem simple, but it works. The first thing you want to do is you want to imagine energy coming in through the bottoms of your feet, moving all the way through your body, and going up through your spine. Now, as this energy goes up through your spine, what it's doing is it's opening up all of your chakras so that you have a straight flow of energy. So as the energy moves up your spine, it moves up through the top of your head, and as it comes up to the top of your head, it's going to make a ball of light. Now, I want you to really imagine what this energy would feel like going through your body as it would come up, kind of push up towards the crown of your head, and I kind of feel a little pushing as it makes this ball of light. This ball of light can be any color you want it to be, but I want you to imagine that it's above your head. And I want you to imagine that you're sitting inside this ball of light. This could be a small piece of you, or all of a sudden you can just imagine all of you in it. I usually just imagine a little me sitting in this ball of light. But however you do it, you can't screw this up because it's impossible. You're just in this ball of light. Now I want you to imagine going up past the universe. The universe is big, so you may have to fold it in half. But I want you to imagine that if it did have an end, at the end of the universe, there would be all these layers of light. I want you to imagine going through these layers of light. As you go through these layers of light, I want you to imagine going through a beautiful golden light. This light's very familiar to you. This is a place that you know. You'll want to stay there for a second, but I want you to keep going. I want you to go through something that's thick, thick like jelly, and into this tingly, tingly white light. It's white like snow. It tingles. It's white like a pearl. It may have a little teeny bit of pink and blue in it every once in a while, but it's white, white, white. And it tingles and tingles and tingles, and you can feel it. Now the ball of light that you were in disappears, and you can just feel this other tingly white light go going through every cell in your body. This white light is the particles that make up the nucleus of a proton in an atom. So this itself is pure energy before it became anything. It's the tingly energy that makes up particles of protons, which is the very center of an atom. And this tingly white energy is the energy of all that is. It is the energy of creation. It is the energy of the most pure love. It's not just love, it's knowing love. It knows everything. It's pure intelligence and love. And I want you to feel what that feels like going through every cell in your body. Now the key thing is once you visualize this, you need to use the magic word. You need to say creator or God, creator of all that is. And if you were going to do a healing, you would say, creator, it is commanded that unconditional love go through every cell in my body. And if you had something wrong with you, you would focus on what was wrong and say, creator of all that is. It is commanded that love go through every cell in my body. Any ailment that I have, that it is made, it changed and made pure, made whole. Thank you. It is done. It is done. It is done. Now, the visualization part of the technique is really important. You want to imagine energy going through your body. If there's anything that's wrong with your body, that it has changed. Now, as you imagine this and you have this experience, you're going to go back to this tingly white light and say, thank you, it is done, and open your eyes. And there you are. You're completely still connected to the creator of all that is. Now, instead of bringing you down back into yourself and grounding you out, that kind of defeats the purpose, because the purpose of this meditation is to actually so that you feel connected to everything that is. And when you're in the perfect energy of the creator, there is no negative energy. It's just pure love. And when just that little tiny modality, just that little second of saying, God, change this, is really incredible in the healing abilities. This is that basic, what I just told you, and it's even a little bit more complicated than what less complicated than what I just told you, is what actually healed me 17 years ago. Now, what we've found is that once we take the mind through the layers of the universe, it teaches the human body and the mind that the creator is bigger than the universe. Now, some people say, the creator's inside me. Of course it's inside you. You're part of all that is. But the universe doesn't start from inside you and go out. You're actually part of all the universe. So you're training your brain where to go. You know, a lot of people say, connect with God. But nobody gives you instructions how. And what we do is we give the subconscious instructions. God is bigger than the universe. No, God is bigger than all the heavens. God is bigger than all the laws of the universe, but yet it is everywhere, and it makes up the universe, and it's tiny and small and full of life form, life energy, but it's all of these. And when we teach the brain to do that and to reach in that energy, some very incredible things happen. First of all, the brain goes into alpha when I start to talk. And when someone starts to say the word God or creator, the brain goes into theta. And what happens then is that the subconscious is suddenly open to new possibilities, problem-solving abilities. It releases hormones to the body that actually helps the body heal. And a person can achieve some really amazing things with just that tiny meditation.
And it doesn't take us very long to do.
Well, I talk kind of fast because if I go very slow, people's subconscious will start to ask questions like, I'm not worthy to do this. Should I do this? Can I do this? If I'm talking a little faster, people are so busy trying to catch up to my voice that they don't worry about things like that. Because what we want to do is you want to teach people that they are part of the energy that creates everything that is. And the reason we can teach this in every modality is that every modality believes in one creative energy. You know, to the Christian population, they would call that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. To the Hindus, that would be the energy of creation. You know, so to the Native Americans, it would be the spirit that moves in all things. But on some level, every soul on this planet knows it. And when we teach the brain to reach for it, interesting things happen. You know, we have an electrosupplegraph that takes like pictures of the brain and the energy that goes on in the brain, and actually like an MRI picture. And when we do the technique, you can actually see the energy go up to the crown of someone's head. And when we do the healing, you can actually watch the other person being healed, where the energy goes in their mind. And it goes right to the organ that we're isolating, or right to the problem where we're isolating in the brain that runs that organ. I mean, so we know something is happening. And so that's what people get involved in Theta Healing for. They get involved for the healing. They get involved for that. That's not what it was designed for. I believe with all my heart that it's designed for us to actually become what we should be. It's designed to teach us how to be kind and how to be loving. You know, what we discovered is that virtuous thoughts, kind thoughts, loving thoughts go faster than the speed of light. They go through the universe. They reach the beginnings of the universe. They reach the energy of all that is. But yet negative thoughts like hatred and jealousy, they all are really confined to the earth. And so what we found is that people that actually have genuine virtues, genuine kindness, are the ones that have the real healing ability. You know, the ones that actually are really kind to everyone around them, they're the ones that can actually see and witness more healings. Now, one thing about Theta Healing is that we teach people to visualize, but visualize in Theta Healing means feeling, hearing, imagining, visualizing. It's all of it together. And so I'm really lucky to teach people who are already healers, that have already done remarkable things in their life. You know, I get to teach a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, people that use their intuition all the time. And what I do is I sort of explain to them why they can do what they can do. And in a weird kind of way, it gives you that aha moment. So it's kind of cool.
It is very cool. Yes. And so that was, you were just covering the attributes to a healer, right? That's the main part of that, is that someone who really brings kindness within the different aspects of their life.
Well, actually, the things that make you a really good healer, okay, and actually, that's what I wanted to do today. I wanted to tell you, you know, the thoughts that you have. You know, people pray to be kind, and then the universe gives them all kinds of situations in which they can practice.
Right.
So in my opinion, there's nothing in our life that doesn't matter. There's nothing that we have gone through that doesn't matter. I believe on a subconscious level, we pick these challenges to refine us as souls and as spirits. And so I believe with all my heart that if we would really focus on what we wanted to be, we could get these attributes in an easier way. I mean, if we want to learn tolerance, then God always gives us people that pushes us to learn tolerance. You know, so we could actually make our lives a little easier by, if we wanted to learn kindness, maybe we should practice kindness on 3 or 4 people a day. And so what I did is I went up and, you know, all the classes of Theta Healing are directed at refining you to make you a better person in many ways. You know, we have one for weight and one for, you know, abundance and money and ideas and everything like that. But in the end, we are truly limitless in what we can do. And so what I did is I went up and asked God, you know, what attributes does someone have to be a good healer, or to be a good psychic, or to see into somebody's space? You know, what do they need? And for the most part, to be a good healer, you have to be able to actually have these certain virtues. You have to have restraint. You have to have kindness. You have to have forgiveness, compassion, faith, gratitude, acceptance. You also have to have the virtue of wonder and hope, service and courage. Because all the other attributes, the courage holds them all together, because you have to have courage to learn them. But you have to have courage to be kind in this world. You have to have courage to forgive someone. So courage is kind of like the glue.
Right.
And then the things that kind of keep you from not doing good healings is your fear and your doubts and your disbeliefs that you can't do it. So in Theta Healing, if I was to refine you as a healer, I would go up and ask the Creator to teach you on every level. And we believe there's 4 levels: core belief, genetic belief, history belief, soul belief. On every part of your being, what the Creator's definition of kindness is. Now, we're here on this earth to learn by experience, but the Creator didn't say we couldn't learn very quickly. So what we do is we go up and we ask God to teach people what kindness is, what love is, what courage is. And then we teach them that they already have this. And then, of course, we bring things in our life to practice it, but they're not as dramatic. So if I teach you you already have courage, then you're not going to keep bringing, you know, too much, you know, instances for courage, just a normal amount, and you'll learn it.
You said restraint as one of them. What does that mean?
Well, you're a healer. If anyone's a healer out there, you always have this great desire sometimes to reach over and slap that person you're working on. It's the truth. You know, sometimes people frustrate you. They always disappoint you. When you're a healer, you always see the best in people, and people disappoint you. And you have to have the restraint to realize that this is their journey, that you can't force them to be what you want them to be, that you'll have to listen to them and forgive them, and that you can't make them be something they can't be. So you need restraint in that area.
Right. That makes sense. So you said that courage before is really the glue that holds all of this together. Is there something that we could do, a visualization or a meditation, something we could do now to help us feel more courageous?
I think you guys and everyone on this tape is courageous. I mean, we're standing up in a world of war and discontent, and we're saying, look, we can be part of love and energy and help each other. Because that's one thing that the healing modalities have in common is we know that there's a way to change the world, and we know that there's behaviors that are inside of us that are godly. And that takes courage to stand up and say that. So I don't seem to have problems with people in my class for courage, but I do sometimes have problems with kindness. Because sometimes the healers, some people want to be healers because they want other people to love them. Some people are healers because they're naturally born and they give everything to everyone else and they never take time for themselves. And so they're not even being kind to themselves. They're kind to everyone else. And so kindness isn't just to everyone else, it's to yourself. You know, it's that balance of loving yourself and everyone else. And so the difference is one student will come in my class and be a great healer, and the other one doesn't do such good healings. And that's because that extra kindness is missing. And so if we can kind of work on that one.
Yes, perfect.
You know, the other things, like people, they want to do teleportation, or they want to manifest things instantly, or they want to be able to see the truth in other people. There's a virtue for every one of these. Now, a virtue is a thought form that does move faster than the speed of light. And in Theta Healing, we believe that the universe is held together by laws of the universe that are actual huge group conscious thought forms that you can connect with. So you can actually tap into the law of magnetism. You can tap into the law of truth. But in order to do that, you have to kind of have those high thought forms that will enable you to do that. And a lot of people come to my classes, they want to see truth. And they forget that truth is dangerous. You know, you see truth about somebody, you're still supposed to be able to see the truth and still love them. And that's something that's harder than people realize. And in order for people to really see another person's truth, they have to be kind. They have to be compassionate. They have to be understanding. And more than anything, they have to have tolerance. Because there's so many intuitives out there that can tell you what you want to hear or all the good things about yourself. But when you actually see the truth, you realize that you're a human in a human body and that we're working on ourselves. We're a work in progress. And that we should be able to see the truth about ourselves, you know, actually look at it, see it, and refocus our thoughts to become better people. And when people come to me and they'll sit down in class and they'll go, how did you see that in that person? I look at them and think, well, because it's there, can't you see? And it's not like you can see, yes, maybe they did lie, but why did they lie? Or yes, they are hurt. Or yes, they are having an affair on their husband, but look how horrible they were treated and now they found love. I mean, it's a different kind of understanding. And I'm not saying I'm condoning misbehavior. I'm just saying when they want to see truth about their clients, they have to understand that truth is complicated. And so if we could focus on the virtues that make us a better person, so we are already doing that. That point is that our subconscious and our soul on some level are already focusing on what we're supposed to learn on this planet. And one thing that Theta Healing does is it helps you be aware of what you're doing. You know, we create our own reality. So for most of my life, I would create someone that told me no, I couldn't do something, just so I could prove that I could. And that was my way of getting motivated. You know, understanding that about myself taught me that maybe I should do things without someone telling me no first. Maybe I should do it out of love instead of somebody saying you can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And Vienna, is this kindness towards other people, or is a big part of this kindness towards ourselves?
A lot of it's kindness for ourselves and love of ourselves. I mean, if you really love yourself, it's really easy to love someone else. And a lot of the healers that come to work with other people, they know how to love everyone, but they don't know how to let somebody love them back. They don't know that they're precious enough to be really understood and loved back. And so their cup gets empty and they get tired and they spend all their time taking care of everybody else, and there's not enough energy to go around. And if they would take just a little bit of time and actually learn that they are important and that they can receive love back, then they're limitless in what they can do. You know, we teach people in Theta Healing, we teach them more than just healing. We teach them in one of the classes, we teach them how to go and practice their psychic abilities to see what color something is, or how to change water from regular water to sweet and salty, how to move things with your mind, how to be in two places at once, how to get a good vision on everything that's around you. And we teach these people the next step, how to connect to laws, how to send away spirits, how to connect with spirits, how to see angels. I mean, Theta Healing is really kind of fun when it opens up the mind, but it always comes down to the virtues of what they can actually do. You know, people want to read minds. In order for you to read mind, you know, you have to clear out your revengeful feelings and your remorseful and resentment feelings, or you can't read people's minds. You know, you've got to leave your egotism behind, and you have to keep, you know, reading minds, you have to have commitment and compassion and faith and understanding, tolerance and patience. These are all virtues. These thought forms are like magic fairy dust. They take your energies everywhere that they need to go. And if we focused on that, we would become that. And, you know, and Theta Healing has a way of teaching you on a deep subconscious level, pulling out old beliefs, adjusting beliefs, utilizing what you believe. But there's a lot of modalities out there that right now that are reaching some of the same conclusions. And I think that that's what we should really be looking at as healers, is that we're on the right track, and there's a lot of us.
Yes. Amen. Well, Vienna, I'd love to have another experience with this. I mean, we did that one meditation. Could we do something for kindness, or is there another process that you think could really serve us?
So we teach a few processes that actually, before I even work on you, I mean, some people come to me and we do a healing and they receive immediate results. But a lot of people are holding their thought forms and holding the things that are happening in their life for a reason. You know, for instance, I've never met any woman that ever had breast cancer that wasn't trying to put her family back together or trying to fix something in the family department. No, not a negative belief, but a positive belief that if I'm sick, the family may come back together, I can fix this. So beliefs are really intertwined in everything we do, and not only negatives. You know, people always say it's relationship problems. Well, you know what? Maybe it's a solution of pulling people together. And if we can change these beliefs in people, maybe they don't have to be sick in order to get results. But the first thing to do for a healer is, like I said, teaching them how to love their self. Lots of the people that come in my class, they weren't wanted as children. They weren't wanted when their mama got pregnant with them. You know, a lot of them got pregnant. They were the fourth or fifth child. They were supposed to be a boy. They were a girl. They were supposed to be a girl. They were a boy. So from the very beginning, they had conflict, plus the parents were stressed. So one thing we do is we go back in time and surround that baby in the womb with actual love, nurturing, compassion, and kindness. And what I did is this particular exercise was developed for something called alcohol fetal syndrome, or fetal alcohol syndrome, depending on which country you're coming from. And what I found is it had remarkable results. It helped the person learn. Children that are born in alcohol fetal conditions, it hurts them to be touched. So we developed this exercise for that reason, but we found that it healed so many things. It actually helps people that are, a lot of people that are depressed, it helps them. It helps people that are asthmatic, it helps them. It helps people that are feeling lonely and lost because they probably started out as a twin in the womb. And it just sort of gives you a foundation to hit from. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to take you up into that little meditation. This time you're going to go a little bit deeper into that meditation than you did the first time, realizing that every time you go practice this, you're going to go deeper. Remembering that theta healing is a deep hypnosis wave, or theta brainwave, or a very deep sleep wave. Your brain keeps going deeper every time. And we're going to let you go back to when you were a tiny baby in the womb when you were first created, and we're going to surround you with love. Are you ready?
I am ready, yes.
Okay, so the first thing you want to do is you want to imagine, again, energy coming up through your feet as if it's coming from the bottom of the earth. Now, in the book, it always tells you to center yourself in your heart, and that's because a lot of our healers and a lot of our psychics, we're so out of our body sometimes that we sort of have to make sure we're in our body even before we start. But for the most part, I just start from going up, imagining energy coming up through the earth. That's giving you lots of energy going through your body, going up through your spine, opening up all your chakras, which, by the way, should be always connected anyways, going up through your spine, going up to the top of your head and making a beautiful ball of light. Now remember, you just visualize as I talk. Don't worry about anything else but visualizing what I'm saying. Now I want you to imagine that you are in a beautiful ball of light. You're safe. Totally filled with love. I want you to imagine going up past the entire universe. And as you go through the universe, you may notice that there are even some prayers that people have sent to the universe. You may want to take them with you. So you may want to stop and gather a few prayers if you want to. Now I want you to imagine that you go up past the universe. And suddenly you go in through layers and layers of light. It may go dark, it may go light, but it's layers and layers of light. And all of a sudden you're in a beautiful golden light. Now I want you to imagine that you go through this golden light in through something that feels like thick water or jelly. This is the energy of the laws of the universe. This holds everything together in multi-universes, in many dimensions. Okay, you want to imagine going through this jelly-like substance and into a tingly white light. It tingles, it sparkles, it's snow white. This is the energy of creation. This is the energy of all that is. This is the energy that makes up every atom. These are the particles of every proton. This is the energy of all that is. And you're going to make the command, creator of all that is. It is commanded that unconditional love, that love, pure love, nurturing, kindness, be surrounded to me in the womb. And I want you to imagine going back to when you were first made in the womb as a tiny egg and being surrounded with love, kindness, compassion, and nurturing. I want you to see this energy surrounding you as you grow in the womb, as you're born, through your whole life, Creator, and beyond. Thank you. It is done, it is done, it is done. Of course, you would want to see this energy through your whole life and beyond. Now take a deep breath in. Go back to that tingly white light. Knowing that you are part of all that is and that there is no separateness. And open your eyes. Now, what we found is this exercise alone would actually help people that started out as twins. You know, at least half the babies, they say something like, you know, 3 out of 6 babies or 4 out of 6 babies start out as twins. You know, all books are different in their opinion. But if you started out with someone as a companion, this seems to heal that loneliness. And what it also does is it seems to pull out some of those toxins that were in your system, and it gives you this really good foundation that you're needed, you're wanted, you're loved. And then, after you've done it on yourself, in Theta Healing, you have to ask permission before you do any healing. And you have to ask permission from the person's conscious self when you do any belief work or healing. But in this particular exercise, you are allowed to do it on anyone that you're genetically related to. So you can go up and do this for your mother, your children, your sisters, your brothers. You know, one of the things that this exercise seems to heal is I have lots of mothers that come that had abortions when they were like 15 because of circumstances. And they're always so afraid that that baby didn't get a chance. Well, that baby gets a chance. And this actually heals that energy. Or babies that were miscarried, that heals this energy. It's remarkable how much just one little exercise can do to kind of get someone a foundation of love.
So powerful. And Vienna, you talk a lot about healing, and also a lot of your work is about creating a better life. Is there a difference between looking and healing limiting beliefs and then moving towards something?
Well, I think that we also teach people to manifest. I think that we heal beliefs. I mean, people have been doing belief work forever. I mean, they really have. If I can remember right, I mean, even Joseph Murphy and Holmes were all teaching people the power of their subconscious mind. I find that we heal beliefs to keep them going forward, but some of these beliefs are genetic beliefs that say, I'm only allowed to be this successful. And to me, in Theta Healing, successful is love, companionship, the love of your life, enough, you know, plenty, and plenty of money, which is just paper and energy, so that you can create what you really want to. And a lot of the people that come to me, they don't even know what they want. I mean, they know that life is hard and difficult, but they forget that they are sparks of God, and therefore, they're going to be creative. You know, some of these people forget that they're little warriors on another plane, and so they're going to be bored with a really boring life. I have never met a healer that had a boring life. We're extravagantly creative. You know, we create more than the rest of the world. I mean, we create really weird things just to keep us amused. And if we could use that energy to focus it, we could create anything. We would be limitless. And so I think what we do is we teach people how to focus on what they want, how to see how their subconscious is trying to protect them from not getting it, and how to change that, and how to get set where you can create what you want to in your reality.
But what do you mean by that? Why would our subconscious mind protect us from something that we want?
Well, I teach a manifesting class, but there is a one instance which was really cute. We set somebody down in front of you, and you just kind of talk to them, because the brain is like a large computer anyways. It will give you answers. So I set this person down. I say to him, okay, if you can create anything you want, what would you create? And he says, well, I want a tree house in Cairns, Australia. And I'm like, and of course for me, Cairns is filled with, you know, snakes and creatures that are dangerous, but apparently he really likes it there. So he wanted to create a treehouse for his family to live in. So I had him start by imagining being in that treehouse. And it took him like 2 seconds imagining being in that treehouse when he looked at me absolutely horrified and said, I don't want a treehouse in Cairns. And I said, why not? And he said, if I build this treehouse, my mother-in-law will move in.
Oh.
And this is the part that people don't realize. Our subconscious works really, really fast. Our conscious mind doesn't even compare to keep up. And the second he said he wanted a treehouse in Cairns, his subconscious had already sorted it out, figured out what would happen if he had it, and his mother-in-law would move in. And I said to him, well, honey, you can tell your mother-in-law no. And he said, oh, I can't tell my mother-in-law no. I mean, you don't know my wife. And I said, well, why don't we build your mother-in-law a treehouse next door? And so he was okay with that idea for about, oh, maybe 30 seconds. He imagined his treehouse with his mother-in-law next door, and then he looked at me just horrified and said, I can't do that. And I said, why? And he said, if I do that, then my brother-in-law will want a loan. And so here's this man, brilliant healer, living in an apartment with his wife and little kids in Australia and trying to figure out why he can't get out of it. In reality, his subconscious has this fear that if he gets out of it, they're going to take it anyways. And so finding that block and changing that enables him to create without it stopping him. And most people don't realize that it's always a positive thought that is the strongest that blocks you. You know, just like you tell somebody what's going to happen if you're better. You know, if you're better, what's going to happen? And they go into panic. They're like, if I get better, this and this and this will happen. It's like talking to somebody that has HIV. You say, what's going to happen and you're completely better? And he's going to say, well, the HIV has taught me how to take care of myself. It's taught me to pay attention to the food that I eat and the people I talk to and to treat people decent. And if it's gone, I'll go back to the person I was before.
But Vienna, I can imagine that most people aren't very clear on why they're holding themselves back. And, you know, this man might have been talking about the treehouse for so long, but he only just realized the downside to it. So
that's a cool thing about Theta Healing. We teach you the right questions to ask.
Okay, so it's about the questions.
Yeah, it's about really sitting down and saying, what will happen if I have this? You know, instead of like, because lots of people know that if you say to somebody, why do you have cancer? They're going to say, because God's punishing me for doing this and this in my life. Well, that could be a reason, but usually it's like, what's going to happen when you get rid of the cancer? You know, it's like working with this young man that had diabetes. And when you find these real reasons, then you go into Theta and you ask God how to shift them and what to replace them with. And you're always there. The thing about Theta Healing is we always teach you to be there, connected to the energy of all that is, and to listen to what should be done. You know, a young man comes to me, has diabetes, worked on it forever. He's even helped people with diabetes, yet he still has diabetes. So I sit him down, I start to talk to him, and I say to him, what's going to happen if you get completely well? Because he was like 17 before he got it. So he visualizes what it feels like to be completely well, and he's having a wonderful time imagining it for about maybe a minute. And then he looks horrified and he says, if I'm completely well, I will do the things I did before I got sick. I'll go hike, I'll go walk, I love to go surfing, I'll go back and do these things, and when I do, I will have to get a divorce. And I said, well, what? He said, you don't understand, I live in the city. My wife will never leave the city. She hates it when I walk. She hates it when I go hiking. She hates anything that I do. The only thing that we have in our relationship is the fact that she helps me with my diabetes. And if I am well, she will leave me and take away my children. Now, if you have a belief like that, then no matter how great a healer is and watching healings and doing it, whatever modality they're using, they have to fight against that subconscious thought. And the interesting part was, instead of him letting me work on him, I said, come on, let's do some belief work. Let's see if we can change this. He was so frightened of the outcome that he saw that he actually got up and left. They never do that. You know, if you're using him as an example in the room, they always usually have to stay there because there's like 100 people watching.
Right.
And he still got up and left because eventually he did work these out, but he did, by the way, get divorced. You know, as he got better and as he's getting better, it did cause the problems that he saw would be caused. But I'm sure that now he's more prepared for that, and the realization that his relationship was actually based on his illness.
I'm sure as people are listening, they're starting to reflect on their life and starting to think, what are some of the reasons I may be holding on to a physical challenge or a problem in my life? As we begin to get clear on that, what would be the first step? I mean, what is there something? I know that you, Theta Healing is a whole process and you teach a lot, but is there a tip or something that we could do now that could help us if we've started to get clear on the reasons why we're holding ourselves back?
Okay, so this is good. You know, Theta Healing teaches a lot of things. You know, it teaches you how to go forward in time and remember your future. And like with any modality, you know, practice is great. And the best practice is to ask yourself, instead of why am I sick and why am I being punished, maybe you should say, how did this help me and what's going to happen if I get better for sicknesses, but also for different things in your life, which is, you know, truly, you know, why can't I make any money? You know, the one lady told me, my father had to work for someone all their life. I had to work for someone. I can't do it alone. I have to work for someone. Well, instead of changing that belief, I just told her, why don't she put that she's working for God? You know, you don't have to be totally extravagant when you do some changes. You just need to identify the problem, and that alone will help you change it. And I think that if you are looking for why you're stuck where you are, you need to see what did you learn from it. But mostly, what's going to change in your life if you change it? And if the changes are frightening or scary, then we need to be able to work on you. Now, one of the things I find that block healers more than anything in the world is the very fear of success. They're not afraid of failure. They're afraid of success. You know, anyone can fail, and you know, you do 10 people and 3 people get healed, you got a good clientele. But if 10 people get healed, then all of a sudden they're going to bring their friends, and each of them bring 100 friends, and then they bring 100 more. Before you know it, you've got 10,000 sick people waiting to see you, and you have no life anymore. You can't have time for your family. You don't have time for your children. And the very fear of that will keep a good healer back. So if the healer realizes that if they have 10,000 people waiting to be healed, maybe they can't work on all of them in one night. But maybe they could teach them all in one seminar. Simply working out a plan like that in their mind will bring them the clientele that they need, and their healings will work better for them.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's really just the power of awareness.
Well, you know that. When you've had a good session with someone and it's a great session, it changes their life forever. You know when you get out from working on them, because you're a healer, right?
Yes, I would think I could consider myself a healer, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, you can hear it in your voice. You're a healer. You're changing the planet. You know, you're a healer. And when you're finished with somebody and you know you did good, there's nothing that makes you happier and higher and more excited in life than to see that you made a difference in someone's life.
So true. Yeah.
But then if you make a difference in 5 people's lives, and then they all want all these people to come work on you and all these things start to gather, then you realize that, you know, you took a long time to learn how to love yourself. You know, where's the balance? And so if we know in the beginning where we want to head, and we know that we set aside time for us to love ourselves and work on ourselves, then we're limitless in what we can do. And by limitless, I mean limitless. I mean there is nothing that cannot be changed, no mountain that could not be moved by faith. There's nothing that cannot be done when you are connected to your true God self and your true being.
Well, Vienna, you've shared with us so much within this time. If you only had one message that everybody could remember, that you really hope that tomorrow when people wake up, they really spend more time thinking about it, what would that message be?
Oh, I think it's the fact that we are part of God, that we're part of everything that is, and that you're sparks of God, and you're truly magnificent beings, that nothing in your life you experienced didn't serve a purpose, and somehow everything matters. And that you can truly focus your thoughts to fulfill your divine timing and do your true destiny with life, which is right now, for many healers, you know, watching the earth change. You know, the earth has options, and it can change with love.
It absolutely can. Well, thank you so much for leading the way and helping us change the world with love. I really enjoyed interviewing you.
Thanks for joining us for this 2013 Hay House World Summit interview. We hope that you found it inspirational, uplifting, and educational. This is a global event, and we're glad that you could join us as we make the world a little smaller.